For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for thy holy word. We pray that thou wilt enlighten it to our hearts. Use it to quicken us in our faith and appreciation for our salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The heathen are without excuse. My theme is why the heathen are lost. Many people think they're not. But this portion of Scripture tells us clearly that they are. The just shall live by faith. We saw that last time, and this is a text that was the heart of the Reformation. It's the heart of the gospel. To be right with God, the only way we can do it is through faith in Christ. You can't do it through your good works, through anything else. Only the faith in Christ will bring the righteousness of Christ, because your own righteousness is not sufficient. Now, this text Paul takes from Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk is an Old Testament prophet writing in the 7th century B.C. And in context, what he's talking about is the oppression of Israel under Babylon. And this divine spiritual principle is that those who are right with God by faith in him will be okay. That's really what he's saying. They will be all right and protected in this oppression if they're right with God by faith. Now, Paul takes a spiritual principle and applies it to the gospel. The same principle, whether about temporal oppression or from an earthly kingdom or from spiritual oppression from Satan's kingdom, is the same principle. If you're right with God by faith, you'll be saved. When he says the just shall live by faith, we have to understand it. To the Hebrew, the word life and the word salvation are practically synonyms. And in fact, in the Aramaic version of Hebrew, which St. Paul spoke as a child, he's writing in Greek, the word life and the word salvation are the same word in Aramaic. So the just shall live by faith, the just shall have life by faith. The just shall be saved by faith. Now, before he develops this important principle, he wants to show why it's so important. Why is it so important that Christ and faith in him is the only way to live, to be saved? The reason it's so important is because there is no other way. In the next chapter, he's going to show why the Jews are not saved without Christ. In this chapter, he's showing why the heathen are not saved without Christ. The heathen world is lost. Why are they lost? Well, some people say, well, they go to hell for rejecting Christ. Well, suppose they never heard of Christ. Hell is full of people who never heard of Christ. People don't go to hell for rejecting Christ. That's only one sin of many. They go to hell because they've sinned against God and have not been saved. So the apostle here proves that the heathen are lost. And the reason they're lost is because God has revealed himself and his truth to them, and they reject what he's given them. They put their trust in idols. They put their trust in themselves. They put their trust in fake religions, which they have ginned up on their own, even though God has revealed himself and nature to them clearly. And it says the reason they do this is because they don't like the truth of God. It's against their evil nature to like God or his truth. Now, let's begin with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed not in the gospel. The gospel reveals the righteousness of God. The wrath of God is revealed in human experience. You remember the story in Acts of when St. Paul lands on the island of Malta, and he's building a fire, and a snake comes out of the wood and bites him on the hand, and the heathen of Malta say, well, he must be a murderer, and he's being punished. So even the heathen recognize that there's a moral universe. The wrath of God is revealed in history. The history of the world is a judgment of the world. People say, well, if God is all-powerful, why do such terrible things happen? It's because the world is under judgment. This is one of the simplest facts of the Bible, and it's lost to many Christians. It's a puzzle why such awful things happen. Can't God stop it? Of course he can. What is revealed is wrath revealed against two things, ungodliness and unrighteousness. Ungodliness is the first table of the law, sins directly against God, worshiping idols, worshiping other gods, taking his name in vain, breaking his Sabbath. Unrighteousness is the second table of the law, sins against fellow men, disobedience to parents, murder, adultery, lying, so on. And why do sinners do this? Because they hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What do they hold in unrighteousness? The truth. The heathen have the truth. And you know what they do with it? Hold means suppress. They hold it down. They suppress the truth because they don't like it. They don't have the truth of the gospel, but they have enough truth revealed to them in human experience to know that God is not the idol that they made or the fake religion that they've created. The heathen are lost because they have the truth of God revealed to them and they suppress it. And this is why they're under the wrath of God. Now, some people are uncomfortable with this idea that there's a wrath of God. How can God be angry? Maybe that's just a figure of speech. Is it just a figure of speech when we say God is love? God is love. God is just. God is a God of wrath. Anyone who believes in the flood of Noah, that God brought a flood upon the entire human race to kill them, saving only 8 humans. If that doesn't convince you that God is a God of judgment and wrath, I don't know what will. Now, it's true that God reveals himself as one who doesn't like to manifest his wrath. Isaiah calls the wrath of God his work, his strange work. God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What he takes pleasure in is lavishing his grace and mercy on repentant sinners. Nevertheless, because of his justice against evil, he has to punish it. That's why he punished my sins in Jesus Christ. It had to be punished. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That which is known of God, or which is knowable about God, from the light of nature, God has shown the heathen clearly. It says it's manifest in them. It means in their hearts and minds. The most primitive tribesman in the Amazon forest has this truth and suppresses it. And it's in his heart and mind. And he puts it down. Now, the apostle is reacting here to a possible objection to his statement that the heathen have the truth of God and suppress it. How can you say, Paul, they have the truth of God when they don't have the scriptures? No, they don't have the scriptures. They have the book of nature. The book of nature, God clearly reveals himself as the almighty creator he is. You don't look at the book of nature and conclude that some statue made all this. From the creation of the world, that means ever since the creation of the world, this has been clear in nature. Ever since the sixth day when God made Adam and Eve the sentient thinking creatures, nature clearly revealed God. Ever since then, he revealed himself in the things that he made. His power and Godhead is the visible things of God. Well, his wisdom is invisible, but you can sure see the result of it. His power is invisible. You can see the result of that. The older I get, the more impressed I am with the book of nature. It's a marvel that somebody could not believe in God. I remember when my daughter Faith was about 5 or 6, she asked me what an atheist was. I said, it's someone who doesn't believe in God. She said, they don't believe in God. Who do they think made all these things? Even a 5-year-old can understand this. I go for a walk almost every day. I see geese flying over my house. They're going from Canada to South America. Geese. And the whole time they're flapping like this. It's amazing. Then I see another bird in my neighborhood. It's a hawk. And sometimes I'll stand and watch him for 5 minutes and he doesn't flap once. He soars around and around looking for something to eat. He never moves his wings. Who can believe that there wasn't a wise creator who made these things? The book of nature clearly reveals God's wisdom and power. Did Mother Nature make this hawk? Did an idol make it? Now, look carefully at the end of this verse that I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon. They are without excuse. The heathen have no excuse. No, they haven't rejected Christ. They haven't rejected the gospel. All the truth about God that he showed them, they did reject. And they rejected because they don't like it. And they don't like it because they're depraved. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. When they knew God, for it says in the Greek, knowing God, what do they know? What's this tribesman know who's never heard the scripture? He knows God. Not any God, the God. This is a very important verse, knowing God. They know God, the heathen. One of the professors in my seminary, Cornelius Van Til, a famous theologian, he used to recite this verse in Greek, non ton thon theon, knowing God. So they know God and they know the truth, and what's their reaction? They don't glorify God. They're not thankful. Instead, they'll worship a totem pole or a statue or a volcano or some religion they've made themselves. not being thankful is a mark of a heathen. You know, ever since my wife passed six years ago, I dine 6 days a week in a restaurant. In the last 6 years, I've seen one person pray before eating, besides myself. And that was about 5 years ago. And was sitting next to me in Outback Steakhouse, and he bowed his head and prayed. I said, "Wow, are you praying?" He said, "Yes, sir." It's the only one. I always do. I'm not showing off. I think this is what everybody should do. And if I'm the only one to do it, I will do it. I'll close my eyes, bow my head, and pray. I'm the only one. I don't care. They weren't thankful. They became vain in their imaginations. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Don't the heathen profess themselves to be wise? And you know what? They're really fools. If you believe in biblical morality, the world will think you're a fool. But they're the fools. If you believe in the miracles of the Bible, the world will think you're a fool. But they're the fools. They profess themselves to be wise, but they're actually fools. One of the wisest men of the ancient world was Socrates. And yet when Socrates was going to die, he asked that a rooster be sacrificed to a pagan god for him. Well, he got the blood sacrifice right. Must have been handed down by oral tradition from Adam, but not the sacrifice of the Son of God, the sacrifice of a chicken. The wisest man in the ancient world. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed the glory of God into idols. This means they exchanged it. They had the glory of God. They had the truth of God. And they exchanged it for something that they made themselves, which was more convenient for the way they wanted to live. He's taking this language from Psalm 61, which was about worshiping the golden calf. They changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Two verses down, Paul will explain what he means by this uncleanness, this filthiness. It's lesbianism and homosexuality. In this ever more sinful and increasingly heathen world we live in, these things are not considered filthy. They're considered something to celebrate. All over the world, we fly the gay pride flag at our American embassies, thanks to Mr. Biden. Something to be proud of. What God detests. It says he gave them over. He allowed them to be led by their corrupt hearts. The punishment for sin is greater sin. Rejecting the truth of God, knowing God, making their own gods, God punishes them by allowing them to practice the evil that is in their hearts. Giving someone over to do what he wants can be one of God's greatest judgments. Will God punish the unrepentant sodomite or lesbian? Yes. But being a sodomite or a lesbian is punishment already. That's already judgment. It already means he gave them over to do it. So if anybody thinks the Bible is unclear about this subject, you should refer him to Romans chapter 1. It's not harsh to tell someone, you know, if you're going to go to hell if you keep doing that. That's not harsh. It might be harsh not to tell them. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What did they change? The truth of God. That's what they have. And what did they exchange it for? A lie. And what do? They worship the creature more than the Creator. They worship the things that God made more than the one who made it. Not long ago, I was witnessing to a man, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he claimed to be a Native American. He said, well, we worship nature. I said, man, that's right out of this text. He says, we worship nature. We worship the creature rather than the Creator. Just interestingly enough, this particular man did one of those DNA tests and it discovered that he's Scottish and German. He has no Indian blood at all, but that's not quite my point. Worship the nature rather than the maker of it. This caused God gave them up unto vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and received in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So this same sex is doing which is unnatural, against nature, and you don't need a degree in biology to figure that one out. Men are made for women, women are made for men. In Corinthians, St. Paul says, no homosexual will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So this is not just something that's indifferent we could have honest men disagree on. That's how serious it is. But he also says in the same passage that some of these Corinthians Christians had been. But now they're cleansed by the blood of Christ. They've repented. They're going to heaven. So there's hope for any sinner who will repent and trust in Christ. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They glorify God, they glorify Him not as God. They know God, they glorify Him not as God. They have the truth of God, they exchange it for a lie. And this verse tells us why they do it, because they don't like this truth. They don't like to retain this truth there. And so they exchange it for something else. And so God gives them over to a reprobate mind to do those things. And it says not convenient. Now this is a technical term from Stoicism. It means things that are improper. And that's God's worst punishment, when he lets a sinner do exactly what he wants. No, I'm not going to go over all the terms in this catalog of the wickedness of the fallen world, filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and so on for three verses. But just to say in conclusion, are the heathen lost? Yes, why? Because they have the truth of God and they suppress it. They know God, and they exchange what they know for something else that they've made. Is Jesus Christ a superior religion, or is he the only way? Christ is the only way. Amen. We thank thee, Lord Christ, that we can call on thee and put our trust in thee as our Savior. And we pray that we may have a heart for the lost. We are surrounded, even in this nation, by heathen, spiritual heathen. We pray we have opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, that he came to save sinners who will repent. Amen.